Good morning, APHA.
Good morning.
This is a bit early for me, but I'm glad to be here. I bring you greetings from the black women and girls that we serve in New Voices Pittsburgh, New Voices Cleveland, and New Voices Philadelphia. New Voices Pittsburgh is celebrating 10 years of organizing for reproductive justice. How many of you are familiar with the RJ movement? Okay. All right, this section, so I'm going to talk over here. Reproductive justice is a movement, a framework, and a practice to, we organize to predicate on a belief that we all have the human right to control our bodies, our sexuality, our gender, our work, and our reproduction. Our movement is celebrating 20 years of amplifying the voices, experiences, and leadership of indigenous women and women of color across this country and even around the world. So New Voices Pittsburgh has a broad definition of health and well-being. Our mission is to build a social change movement dedicated to the health and well-being of black women and girls through leadership development, through human rights, and through reproductive justice. Ending gender-based violence is at the heart of our work. It is a part of our human rights frame. And it permeates everything that we do in our organization. Our definition of health is broad because it creates the greatest opportunity for us to engage our constituency and our allies and supporters. For us, our definition is measured by 8 indicators: physical health, emotional health, spiritual health, cultural health that we added this year, political health, economic, environmental health that we added in 2007, and social health and well-being. It's imperative for us to affirm the whole person, especially when we're looking at their health. We're trying to find comprehensive solutions for the experiences that they face or the conditions that they find themselves in. For us, we really want our work to be effective in the long run and to sustain not only our movement, but to actually create a place where black women and girls can live in the greater Pittsburgh region that actually values their health and well-being, but also their very lives. To that end, New Voices Pittsburgh, we are creating the Black Women's Health Agenda and the Black Girls' Health Agenda. And these are 10-year plans that articulate our vision for what we hope to bring through our work. We want to improve the health and well-being of black women and girls in the long term, and we hope that these plans that we develop will be able to be replicated in the cities where we operate, but across this country. At the heart of our work to improve health and well-being is ending gender-based violence, which is core. Our friends and sisters at Black Women for Wellness in California, they put out a meme that says no woman is more likely to be murdered, raped, or beaten in America than a black woman. And so our agendas are designed to work in partnership with public health institutions in our region to figure out how do we reverse this reality for black women and girls. Gender-based violence is central to the work of New Voices Pittsburgh. We found that there really wasn't any organization dedicated specifically to a mission of health and well-being for black women and girls and those who identify as lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and or queer. And obviously there's cross-sections between black women and girls and black LGBTQ people. But it's become apparent to us that these communities face the greatest challenges and receive the least social support. And so this is our constituency, our base of support, and our inspiration for the work that we do. It is difficult to engage hopelessness, collective social, economic, and political depression, where the aspiration is daily survival. So what if I told you that the Measure of America report that came out in 2012 cites that black women in Pittsburgh specifically have the life expectancy of women living in developing countries like Jamaica and Honduras? What if I told you that gender norms and ideas of womanhood and femininity impact the health and well-being of black women and girls through the weathering effect, where girls become biologically and physically vulnerable to chronic diseases and illnesses. What if I told you I live in America's most livable city, and Pittsburgh is a human rights city, but this doesn't always manifest in the lives of black communities in Pittsburgh, and arguably this is our greatest challenge to weave a tale of one city not impeded by race and gender oppression. Our constituency faces multiple forms of violence, including sexual violence, intimate partner violence, street violence, institutional violence, and reproductive oppression. Our constituency experiences violence from multiple perpetrators, including family members, partners, strangers, institutions, and the state itself. The strategies we use in New Voices Pittsburgh are to address gender-based violence is education, community organizing, policy advocacy, but what we believe is the most powerful strategy is culture change. The idea that we actually value the lives of all women, that we value the lives of black women and girls, that we value all people beyond our gender. So our work has come a long way. We've been an advocate, New Voices Pittsburgh has been an advocate at the local and state level on a variety of different bills, from anti-shackling of pregnant incarcerated women that we were able to get a bill passed that limited when you could shackle a woman, if you can imagine that, through the last trimester of pregnancy. We're working on a bill now to end all shackling in all correctional facilities in Pennsylvania. As a part of our Pennsylvania agenda for women's health. We work on the Affordable Care Act at both the state and national level, non-discrimination to increase protections for LGBTQ people in our county and in our state. That's a bill we're working on statewide. And we were able to maintain the great strides made in our officer-involved domestic violence cases where police officers are a part of some type of incident, intimate partner violence incident, and then what does that look like for them to return to their job and have access to guns, so on and so forth. But also, when we're talking about, you know, how our communities are policed is a part of the work that went along with this officer-involved domestic violence policy. The Pennsylvania Agenda for Women's Health is similar to what women in New York did, their equality agenda that really seeks to put out our vision for what we want in policy and not to always be on the defensive by regressive policies that impact the lives of women and girls and LGBTQ people. And so to that end, we have put out at least 12 to 15 bills over the last year to address a variety of issues that women and girls are facing, LGBTQ people are facing, from equal pay to domestic violence to anti-shackling, TANF eligibility, on and on and on, revenge porn, harassment, sexual harassment, and a variety of other issues that we find women and girls and LGBTQ facing in our state. And so I think it's imperative as public health professionals and reproductive justice advocates that we advocate from a place of power of what we want, what we are working to build and organize versus, oh, we're fighting back and resisting all the time. That's a passive stance. So we, New Voices Pittsburgh, advances gender-based policy through a reproductive justice lens, and to go back to our definition, that's controlling our body, sexuality, gender, work, and reproduction. There are too many examples of incidences in our region, across the country, and around the world. I wanted to pick out a few to really show that intersection between gender-based policy and reproductive justice. So, for example, Cassandra Waves, a black woman, she worked down the hall from us in New Voices, and she was just getting on her feet and becoming involved in organizing in, amongst low-income residents. She was with the father of her child, and had there had been a long history of abuse. And so a couple days before New Year's Eve, a couple years ago, I saw her leaving the office, and when we returned from New Year's, we found out she had been murdered. And she was murdered, and the father of her child, he murdered himself after that. And so what we discovered after is that the police were called, but they did not speak with Cassandra. They spoke to her husband. They spoke to her partner. They left. He said everything was okay. They left. He murdered her shortly after. So part of our advocacy following that is to do something as basic as speak to the person who called. When somebody's calling for help, a part of it was the phone line was disconnected. So the protocol did not follow that policy of talking with the person who called. They might have been able to save her life if they actually spoke with her. Other parts of our work look at the intersection of domestic violence and incarceration, and oftentimes women and LGBTQ people are given harsher sentences for protecting themselves or defending themselves, even if that means the death of the person that was committing the violence against them. And we see that most notably through Marissa Alexander and the woman in Florida who was protecting herself and protecting her home was sentenced to almost 60 years for defending herself against domestic violence. And so we support that national campaign as a community partner in Pittsburgh, where we educate our community about what's happening with her and her case, and she is currently back on trial now. Our goal is she should be free. She should be released for defending herself. She had a right to defend herself in her own home. Lastly, I wanted to talk about Tara Whitehead, a 16-year-old black girl in our community who was found dead in a park across town, and how our media and our community didn't see the value in her life to actually allow our community to understand what happened to her. This is a 16-year-old child, and it goes back to these values around whether black girls matter or not. And so we had the opportunity to disrupt our mayor's night out not too long ago, asking that question, do black women and girls' lives matter? So with the mayor and all of the city department officials, we asked that question multiple times, and we had a week of action so that we don't forget what happens to black girls and that black girls' lives are valuable as well. She was almost blamed for her death because of who she was affiliated with and who she was associated with. And oftentimes, if she was of a different race, that would have never been a question. And so in affirming black women's lives, we gave out that same week of action, we gave out over 500 flowers to black women and girls, saying flowers for black girls, and that this is an affirmation of our lives. So this is very important to our work. It's from the Repeal Hyde Arts Project. It says, you deserve to parent your child without fear that he or she will be hurt or killed. Freedom from violence is reproductive justice. And that's, I don't think it's always clear the connection between reproductive justice and violence against black women and girls and violence against LGBTQ people. These are our family members, our friends, our children. And so it's important to ensure that this is not a distant thing. This is not something happening over there. This is something happening in our own lives. So as I come to a close, the leadership of black women and girls is critical to ending gender-based violence, and that we have to break down the silos even between our very compatible institutions of public health and the growing, burgeoning movement for reproductive justice. I think we can be a powerful force together if we infuse each other's frameworks into the work that we're doing on the ground. Partner, fund, and support RJ organizations. We are this ultimate superhighway of intersectional movement building, and for New Voices Pittsburgh, we've been able to increase our scale through the National Black Women's Reproductive Justice Agenda, where we will be advocating for national policy at the national level with our national decision makers about the lives of black women and girls. And lastly, dig deeper. Gender-based violence groups exist within a broader frameworks like reproductive justice and human rights. So thank you for your time. I think together we are able to make great strides and innovations in ending gender-based violence and advancing both public health and reproductive justice. Here's my contact information, and thank you very much.